Here comes Chazere, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76 all, Chazere flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazere goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture El Paso, Blackstone. Fashion Furniture, the number one furniture store on the planet, knows no question about it. We're happy and lucky to have it right here in Fresno. How are we doing here? It's a special edition. As you know, usually we're on Thursdays, but today we're on because of the Giants tomorrow. And, of course, if you were a Giant fan, you are hurting right now. They are struggling. Pitching, hitting, everything. It's going to be a long year. They're probably mathematically already out of it, just to let you guys know. But, boy, they just got thrashed the last six games. I mean, it's a bit close. And if you're a Giant fan, this team is pretty much, and I know, Russ, you're a Giant fan. Sorry about this. But as a team, they have every guy in the lineup, including Buster Posey, as a 7 or 8 hitter on any other team, or they're pitch hitters off the bench. So they got some rebuilding to do on that team because it's going to be a long year. Start playing the young guys. It is what it is. You're going to see Bumgarner. He's going to be gone soon. There are going to be a lot of changes going on with the Giants. Hey, they won 3 World Series. You can't argue with that. The Dodgers would love to win one. So the Giants have that over them. And tomorrow, like I said, Giant baseball coming on instead of the Rise Show tomorrow. So we come out today. Matt Johnson is not with me today. He's going to call in a little later. Unfortunate, he lost his brother on Sunday. It's a sad state. If you're, you know, Matty J, his brother, he lives in San Diego and died in a tragic fire, in a house fire. He didn't get out in time. So Matt's down with the family, and I understand he's heading back right now. I don't know how good the phone reception will be driving down the L.A. freeways, but we'll try to catch up with Matt a little later. But prayers, thoughts out to the Johnson family. Unbelievable. And Mark Johnson, Matt's younger brother, was really his biggest fan. Matt was telling me when he was at U.S., when Matt played football at USC, he was one of his biggest fans. And it just sat well. I just thought, I didn't even know what to say. He came over to the house before he left, and Matt was broken up. And I didn't, it's one of those you don't even know what to say. So, unfortunate. Today we're going to talk with Trevor Horn from the Bakersfield, California. We're going to get an updated scoop on the South Valley. And maybe like an end-of-the-year review on Bakersfield, because we have a lot of Bakersfield listeners, and they had such a good year, especially track. And Trevor will break it down. Brian Marsubian will be here in a few minutes. He's going to help me co-host today. Brian Marsubian, of course, helped Paul Leffler on some of the baseball broadcasts. We're going to talk baseball. 1 o'clock hour, Steve Pierce, the Bakersfield Junior College head coach. And possibly someday people talk that he could be the next Mike Batesel at Fresno State. We're going to talk to Steve Pierce in the 1 o'clock hour. We're going to talk plenty of baseball as well and take your phone calls. Call Russ in the studio, 844-940-ESPN. I want to throw this out because my Twitter has been getting heated. I put out the Pag Meter All-Star Basketball, finally. I was a little late. Boys and Girls Basketball All-Star is on thepagmeter.com, thepagmeter.com, if you want to see it. It's been blowing up, so thank you for going to the website. The website is absolutely on fire. It's probably been around for about 5 years now, the website, and every year it grows. We're over 200,000 hits a week now, and I thank you for that. I think people are loving local sports, and I keep updated as much as I can on rankings. But I put out the All-Star team, and my MVP on the boys' side was Cole Anderson of Clovis West. Sophomore phenom led Clovis West to a Central section championship, not a Valley. We got to get rid of that. We got to get that mindset gone, people. There's no more Valley championships anymore since the Central Coast teams that joined the ranks. They're with us now, and they're not. They don't live in a Valley. They live outside the Valley, so it's disrespectful to them. So Clovis West won the Central section championship. Now, my rule has always been, since I've been doing rankings since 2001, that's how long I've been doing high school rankings, or not rankings, all-star teams. And I do an all-Valley back then, but now it's an all-Central section team. If you are a player and you leave right after the year, a la Jalen Green left Memorial to go to a professional high school, not even a high school, it's a professional school up north, you're out. You're not on the Pagmeter All-Star team. I just have never done that. Now, if you transfer Memorial to Bullard or Bullard to Memorial and you stay in the area, heck yeah, you're part of my All-Star team. Jalen Green would have been the player of the year. He was last year. It's a slam dunk. People don't realize what I'm trying to say. You're out. Okay, there's no exceptions. You left the arena. You were Elvis Presley. You left the building. So if you don't understand that, call in right now, 844-940-ESPN. My Pagmeter All-Star team is out. Maddie Campbell of Clovis West is the Pagmeter Player of the Year on the girls' side. No-brainer, slam dunk. If Maddie would have left and she was a junior and she transferred to Trinity High in Las Vegas or something, she would have been out. That's just how it is. I do not believe in a guy leaving right after the season ends. He doesn't even go in the semester break and leaves. He's not going to be awarded any All-Star. Even though he's the best, he's out. So that's just always been my rule since 2001. You like it, great. If not, there's nothing I can do. That's just the rule I set. And Jalen Green, wish him all the best. He's playing AAU now. He's the best, and he'll probably be in the NBA someday. He's up north, and he'll be doing his thing. So, like I said, 844-940-ESPN is my number. This is really the end of, if you look at it, springtime is over. It's officially football season. Football season has begun. I have the Pagmeter early, real early preseason top 30 rankings out. My number one team, I got to go with the back-to-back champs. Central Grizzlies are out. Number two is Buchanan. Number three is Liberty. After that, boy, oh, boy, it's going to be wide open. But, again, I put the early rankings. I want to get the juices flowing. Don't get excited on the divisional rankings. I put them out as well. And you can go to thepagmeter.com. Look at that. I wanted to show on the divisional rankings because we have a whole new some teams moving up, some teams are moving down. For example, in football, Clovis North and Clovis East are moving to Division II. So I wanted to make sure people know what new divisions we are going to be in football. Some people are like, what? Clovis North and Clovis East has moved to Division II? Well, that's the way it is. And I would not be surprised, and it would be shocking to me, that someday Clovis West could be heading that way. Now, I think Clovis North, when I got the word, I get a lot of emails in from teams to giving me the update on their teams. Clovis North, ninth grade, sophomores coming up are absolutely loaded. So Clovis North is going to be back before too long. Mike Jaycock is the new head coach at Clovis North. George Pentresons, who left Clovis West, is now the offensive coordinator at Clovis North, and they're building. And I think the young guys, the ninth, the freshmen, let's put it this way, the eighth, ninth, tenth are going to be really, really good at Clovis North. And some of the juniors coming up will be very good. They're young and growing. Clovis East is going to be really good. Ryan Reynolds out there, Coach Pincotti, they're doing a great job of building that structure up again. Hey, I'm looking at Division II this year. Now, Memorial, the back-to-back Division III section champions moving to Division II. Division II is absolutely loaded with great teams top to bottom. That might be the toughest division of all. Now, like I said, in football, Division I, you got the top three teams, and it's the really versus the rest. I've, like I said, Central, Buchanan, Liberty, Bakersfield are going to be loaded going in. Who's that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh ranked teams coming in? It is wide open. I know the Buller Knights are going to be well improved. Bakersfield, Michael Stewart, the new head coach, the former NFL and Fresno State great, is taking over the Drillers, and I think he's going to be building up. I don't think anyone's going to be leaving that program, and we'll talk to Trevor Horn about that as well. I think he's just going to lock and load at Bakersfield. That was my question. When Paul Gola, who's now at Garces, who's in Division II, when he left Bakersfield, you just knew people were going to be transferring in. I didn't, but I think at Bakersfield now, I think they're going to be very good because he's going to bring that tough culture in, and the Drillers are going to be loaded again. I don't know if they're going to be running that style Paul Gola offense where that, you know, they, it's, well, you'd have to see it. The defense, they have one down lineman. The rest, everyone standing up and jumping around. It's a lot of man-to-man in your face defense. We'll see what Coach Stewart brings. But it's football season, and we've had, you know, the rainiest May of all. This has really been almost football season through May, but you just know the following Friday, it's supposed to be close to 100 degrees, and we know football season's coming up in August, and it's football starts in July, but the games start in August. It is going to be warm, hot football weather, and I think maybe we're just a month behind when it comes to the hotness of the weather, and I always feel for the football players because they got to go through a hot, grueling summer. But it is football season. Everyone gets excited because I wanted to get the juices flowing. I think Memorial in Division II will be the team to beat. They're going to have a new quarterback from transferring in the area, taking over. He's got, you know, Mac Delana and Jalen McMillan to throw to, and that team's going to be awfully good on the offensive side. But they, so far, what I'm hearing is they're not getting a lot of transfers in. So Division II could be interesting. You know, Tulare Western's going to be good. Tulare Union stays home in Division II. Dinuba's going to be very good. And you got Clovis North and Clovis East battling. That is going to be a great division. And we'll break them down as we go. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to catch up with Trevor Horn because he's got a lot to talk about from the Bakersfield Californian. We know Stockdale, the softball team, won the section, and track was off the charts, and he'll break it down like Trevor Horn does. Again, hopefully we're going to have Brian Marsubian here in a few minutes. We'll talk Fresno State baseball. We'll talk high school baseball and take your phone calls as well. Don't go anywhere. Trevor Horn coming up on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back, live right here at Fashion Furniture Studios of 940 ESPN. Thanks for hanging out with us on a special edition of The Rice Show. That we know the Giants will be in action tomorrow. Well, they will be. I believe it's indoors, so that when they play Miami, it will not be a rainout. So the Giants come on tomorrow. We're coming in on Wednesday on a special edition of The Rice Show, getting you ready. And like I said, we're here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. And the family here want to thank everyone on a great Memorial Day weekend. They did fabulous. This is your place to get you ready for your house throughout the summer. If they don't have it, you really don't need it because they got it all in here. And guys, recliner section, or the sales are going on right now. Get on over here and check them out. We are at River Park, El Paso Blackstone, and get some comfortable shoes because you will get lost in here. You might need your GPS on your phone if you're with your wife, and she'll turn around and she'll be gone. It's that big. Come on over here and hang out with us today. It's The Rice Show. The Pag Meter, Matty J will not be. We're going to try to call him in the 1 o'clock hour. And like I said on the start of the show, his brother passed away over the weekend in a tragic house fire, and Matt's down with the family. So our prayers and thoughts. We're with the Johnson family. Just unfortunate. I don't even know what to say. You know, let's just leave it there. And coming on now from the Bakersfield, Californian, from the B-Varsity, one of my good guys, Trevor Horn. Trevor, how are you today?
Well, Nick, I'm great, but I'm devastated to hear about Matt's brother. That's just, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with him, definitely. I hope everything, you know, the family finds some solace at some point. That's terrible news. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was a bad Sunday. Bill Buckner passed away. He had Bart Starr. And then Matt comes over and says his brother passed away. I mean, what is going on?
I don't know. It's just, you know, they always say it comes in threes, and hopefully that's it for now, for a while.
Let's hope. Well, Trevor, it was a great week. Let's start with track. Great weekend at track. Yeah. The weather finally hit on Sunday. So, actually, 2 days of pretty good weather, and nothing like Buchanan in the state championship.
Yeah, you know what? Some may argue with that, that it got a little cool on Saturday evening. The wind picked up a little bit. So, you know, like the kid from San Diego doubling up in the 100 and the 200, his 100 was wind aided. So, you know, that's always the worry when you get into situations like that. You want a kid to have a record like that, but it's always going to have an asterisk, a wind aided asterisk next to it. But it was still, I mean, it was an incredible day, and it was even more incredible for, you know, the central section with Clovis North boys, Caleb Foster winning the boys state title, and then the Buchanan girls winning it. First time for the central section that two schools from the same league won both state championships on the team side and state track and field. So that was really neat for the central section as a whole to see that. And Caleb Foster, my goodness. I mean, this is a kid that's going to come back next year, and we get to watch him again, and the triple and the long and the 100 hurdles. What an athlete.
You know, Trevor, if I had to move to Bakersfield, I've always loved the Liberty Bakersfield area. What is going on out there? Why are those people so big? And I look at Coach Nixon's football team this year. They're going to be big and physical, but what's going on in the water out in Liberty?
Well, you know what? I think it's like anywhere else. Good coaching attracts great athletes, or great coaching attracts great athletes. And I think that's what happens. Ryan Renz and Brian Nixon kind of lead that front when it comes to football and when it comes to track and field, with Renz being the defensive coordinator on the football team, with Brian Nixon as a head coach, and then Renz is the head coach for the track and field team at Liberty. And then he's got Paul Bender and Rod Cronister as his throws coaches, two of the better throws coaches. Paul won a state title in 1980 in the discus for Shafter. His daughter is Faith Bender. She medaled twice. She took second in the discus behind Jocelyn Budwig. And, again, congratulations to Jocelyn Budwig, leaving high school, the Fowler senior, with the discus and shot put championship. But here's Faith Bender, just a sophomore, takes second in the discus, fifth in the shot put. And, you know, she's the daughter of a former athlete. Rod Cronister is one of the better throws coaches in the Central Valley. He coached Van Mounts when Van Mounts was in the youth, and Van Mounts has a central section record in the shot put at 71-10. Daniel Faveros just doubled up, became the 13th ever repeat champion in the shot put in state history in 101 years of the state championship. And, you know, his PR mark this year is 71-3, and, you know, that's just the third ever to do it in state high school meet history, which is incredible. So when you're saying, you know, what's in the water, I think the coaching is what's in the water at Liberty right now. And I think that you'll see that, especially like with what Brian Weaver does with the Buchanan track and field team. Athletes are attracted to great coaches, and so they'll gravitate to those schools at some point.
We're talking with Trevor Horn from the Bakersfield, California, B-Varsity down in Bakersfield area. Let's talk about the Liberty Bakersfield star, Daniel Viveros. Now, when did he start throwing? I mean, is he one of those kids, he was a football player and the track coach saw him, or how did that all start up?
Nope, he was actually throwing as a youth, fifth, sixth grade, but at the same time, he was a high-end basketball player. He was on the all-star teams, on the NOR basketball teams down here, the youth basketball teams. Obviously, he was a standout football player as a youth. His parents put him and his sister and Alicia, who was also a state medalist and just finished up her sophomore year at Mississippi State. Daniel's going to Ole Miss next year, so they're both going to be in the SEC in Mississippi at the two different universities, which is incredible. But Daniel has always been a high-end athlete as a youth. He was a great basketball player. He was actually one of the better basketball players, but the problem was the other guys that really kind of stood out later on in high school grew height-wise, where Daniel just found his growth and his, you know, and his width and his strength. And so he gravitated those. He was actually thinking about playing basketball up until his junior year. And then he had a little bit of a knee tweak going into his junior year. And he said, you know what, I got to take – he took a break after football and said, I can't play basketball anymore. I can't be a three-sport guy, because he needed to rest his knee going into his junior year in track and field. And obviously that worked out well for him. He won the state title last year. And then 100% healthy, had no injuries in football. He is an absolute maniac in the weight room. And one thing that I wrote about this about Daniel a couple of weeks ago, his coach, like I said, Rod Cronister, said he's only had two guys in 25 years that have ever been able to perfect one technique, and that's called a tilt, where he lifts the leg, instead of lifting it out and sweeping it around, he lifts his right leg up and then brings it down almost like a golf swing. So it brings him and allows him to have more torque along with that high-end strength that he has, and that's why he was able to have 8 feet PR this year compared to what he did at state last year, which is absolutely incredible when you think about a guy going from 63 feet to 71 feet. I mean, it's phenomenal. You'll see that between, like, the 40-50 range and the 50-60 range, but not when you get to something where only three guys have ever done it in state history. It's phenomenal, and that's a testament to his agility as a basketball player and a pulling guard on the football team that has helped him as a thrower.
We're talking with Trevor Horn. So, Trevor, on the Trevor meter, how much better can he get at the next level?
Probably a ton, just because he's better than just brute strength throwing, that he already has the technique down. And Ole Miss's throws coach is actually the U.S. Olympic coach. So if he continues to take what Rod gave him, he's going to spend absolutely a lot more time in the weight room. He's only going to get bigger. And if the sky may be the limit for Daniel Averos. And what's crazy is I know he looks larger than life because he's got this big hair that swoops out all over everything. And he's got these shoulders that I would say you could serve dinner on because they're so wide. But he's only 6 feet tall. That's another thing that makes this phenomenal. I remember at Arcadia last month, I stood down there at the shot put ring in the finals, and everybody else except for him and Christian Johnson over at Buchanan, I felt like I was in the middle of like a University of Georgia offensive line meeting in a huddle, because everybody else 6'6", 6'7", 6'9". It was incredible. And so that's kind of what makes him special. Is he's not overly big. So he doesn't have extremely long levers, which is another thing that a lot of throwers like to have. He's just got great technique, great agility, and great strength, and it all works out perfectly for him.
Talking with Trevor Horn, and Trevor, I think you mentioned it already, but the first time ever in Central Section history that the boys and girls of Clovis North and Buchanan won the state, and that's never happened before.
Right.
And so I'm thinking we're on the map now with the rest of the state. They know that the Central Section's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, and credit Ron Blackwood, our track and field historian, for being able to keep those records for us. It's pretty incredible. Yeah, when you think about the Southern California dominance when it comes to these sports, and you think about Long Beach Poly's, Vista Murrieta on the boys' side when they had Michael Norman, I mean, there's such a large, vast amount of athletes down there. But when you get a girls' team that has so many great athletes, like a Megan Lowe and a Corey Smith, like Buchanan has, or you get somebody of Caleb Foster's talents where he can, you know, medal, you know, he can win two events, get silver in another, and then help the relay team, the 400 relay team medal as well. That's just a testament to him to be able to compete in four very grueling events back-to-back days and do it better than everybody else in the state. It's pretty phenomenal what we witnessed out of Caleb Foster.
Oh, it truly is. Let's we're talking with Trevor Horn from the Bakersfield, Californian. Let's go to softball, because at the beginning of the year, back in February, I predicted Bullard would play Stockdale in the section championship game, but I had Bullard winning. But Stockdale wins at 1-0 in a great game over at Bulldog Diamond. Stockdale played steady from day one to the end. It was a beautiful story with the Mustangs.
They were kind of worried going in exactly how the offense was going to look, because, you know, over the years, they've lost some pretty high-end talent. Last year, their biggest loss was Cheyenne Hornbuckle, who was the starting second baseman. She's at University of Kansas now. But her younger sisters, twins, Sydney and Caitlin, the pitcher and the catcher, really solidified that team because Sydney really was lights out for 95% of the season and even more so in the playoffs. She gave up a run in the second inning against Paso Robles in the opening round and then went 26 consecutive shutout innings, finishing off against Paso Robles, shutting out Hanford West, shutting out Atascadero, shutting out Bullard in the finals. Absolutely phenomenal. And then, you know, at the plate, the Mustangs did just enough. Late game heroics, all three of those final series in 1-0 wins. Pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, Sydney had to be on because Bullard Knights came in red hot hitting the ball. And then when they shut out the Knights, that was a huge win. And Stockdale, watch out for next year because Sydney's back in the circle.
She is. But, again, they lose seniors like Taylor Harden and they lose Izzy Niebliss. But, you know, when you get an ace like that, we saw it with Danielle Lung when she was at Clovis. When you have an ace, a lot of things go in your favor when that pitcher, especially in softball, can just shut them down because they're allowed to go every single game.
Give me some of the other stories in the South Valley for softball. I know Division II, Kingsburg took care. They almost went coast-to-coast to beat Hanford. Templeton knocked off Dos Palos in the Division III section championship. The red-hot Washington Union Panthers, Sidney Kuma, got hot and they go all the way to the championship, knocked off Fowler. So what else are you seeing in softball? I know Foothill lost to a red-hot CVC team in Division VI.
Right, and then Kern Valley came in and won the D5 title. And,
yep,
you know, that's a team that had two seniors that are both going on to college in Helen Hayes and Sadie Hartman. So, you know, a lot of times people forget about Kern Valley. Kern Valley routinely spits out high-end athletes. We go back to Dalton Gallis and his sister Rebecca, who were both college athletes, and now you've got Helen Hayes. It's pretty phenomenal what that school is able to do. There's always athletes up there, and again, the softball team led by two of them, and Helen Hayes, really, you know, a very dominating pitcher all 4 years of her high school career, and leading the Bronx back to back D5 titles.
Yeah, I feel good about that. I had Kern Valley winning Division V, CVC winning VI. I just thought the strength of schedule for CVC was going to be too much for everybody else, and they had to play in that tough, Central Sequoia League where it's Kingsburg, Dinuba, Hanford. That's tough. Hanford West, that's a tough league.
You know, and give it up to Foothill, both baseball and softball. I mean, these are teams that had one win each last year, and then they got first-year head coaches on the baseball side. Chris Weddle is the younger brother of Jeff Weddle, who led Wasco to the D4 baseball title 2 years ago. Chris was on that roster, and he led Foothill to the D6 championship game, obviously in a loss to Bishop last Tuesday. And then on the softball side, Brooke Charles, her dad is Art Charles. Her brother of the same name, Art, is playing minor league baseball. So that's a very high-end family. And, you know, Chris and Brooke, both first-year coaches for Foothill, bringing them to the D6 championships in both baseball and softball. And that comes on the heels of the boys' soccer team winning the D5 title and obviously the boys' basketball team dominating through and winning the state Division V title. Pretty impressive 3-month window for school out on the far east side of Bakersfield.
I absolutely love that story. So, Trev, we're talking with Trevor Horn. Trevor, do you like the 3-year cycle, teams moving up and down, or the 1-year cycle, which I like?
Never liked it. It doesn't compute well because what you have so many public schools in the central section, and even the private schools that we have here, they're not powers like a De La Salle or St. John Bosco or a Modern Day. You go in cycles. You get a good group of, you know, athletes, and they win a bunch of games, and they win them at the lower level, and then by the time they're gone, that team then gets pushed up to the highest level that can go, and then they falter because they may not have that same group or class of athletes they had before, and so they falter in a higher division. They ended up not doing well in the playoffs, and eventually they have to move down. And I think it's a very slow, antiquated system. And, you know, I would hope that, you know, Critchlow would have more help where they would be able to have more eyes on games throughout the year to where they can, like the Stack Joaquin section does, where they lump you Division 1, 2, 3, or Division 4, 5, 6, and then once the playoffs come, they seed those teams accordingly, and that's how they play in the playoffs for that year, because really, it really does have to be on a year-to-year annual basis, because you really don't know what a school is going to have. Much like Foothill, Foothill should have been much higher than D4 in the Central Section in terms of boys basketball, and I equate that to the same as Emmanuel 4 years ago during Colin Slater's senior year. That team should not have been a D4. That should have been a D1 team that year. That's where I would like to see, because you want to see the best play the best.
And I'm sure Foothill got excited on the boys' side of basketball when they got that D5 in the state playoffs. They went, yeah, we're liking this.
Yeah, well, you know, Critchlow did say that it was on him for not seeding the teams appropriately. That's part of the reason why Biggest Hill Christian got the 12th seed in D3, and there were some mix-ups across the board, and he takes accountability for that. But obviously, it worked out well for Foothill.
Trevor, I want to take a break. I want to come back and talk about baseball. We're going to give a little early. I got my early preseason football out, and then I'm going to talk about how can we do a better job of seeding for the playoffs. And you and I have talked about many, many different ideas. But don't go anywhere. Trevor Horn from the Bakersfield, California, live right here, Fashion Furniture, on a special edition of The Rice Show, 940 ESPN. We'll be right back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. It's the Pag Meter. Matty J, we're going to try to get a hold of him in the 1 o'clock hour. His brother passed away, and he's hanging out with his family in San Diego. His brother, Mark, died in a tragic house fire. And hearts, thoughts, and if you know Matt, give him a call, text him something, let him know that you love him. But it hasn't been easy in the Johnson household. So we're thinking of Matty J today. It's a special edition of the Rice Show. The Giants come on tomorrow, so we move our show ahead to Wednesday here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone, where it's beautiful inside. It's starting to get warm. We're finally getting that May, June weather. So come on in to Fashion Furniture. Get your house ready. Get that recliner in front of your big screen TV. They got so many to choose from. And it all starts at Fashion Furniture, and we're happy to have it right here at River Park, El Paso Blackstone. River Park is the place to be at Fashion Furniture, so come on down. Talking with Trevor Horn from the Bakersfield, California, the B Varsity, and Trevor, they're lucky to have you down in the South Valley. You do a fantastic job, and Trevor, amazing, it's already football season. Once track ended on Saturday night, it's now football season.
Well, first off, I don't like compliments, but thank you. And Fresno, you're the guy that Fresno doesn't want, but they deserve. And that's the thing, is that, like, once Andy left, you know, take nothing away from what Anthony does for the B, but he's handcuffed in the way that McClatchy runs their business model. And so to have you there to keep everything afloat, I'm sure that Fresno needs to really appreciate what you do as well.
I don't know. I finally, because I'm a one-man band, I came out with my Pag Meter All-Star Basketball, boys and girls, and I've always had a rule since the year 2000. If you transfer right after the season, I can't put you on the team. And Jalen Green easily would have been my All-Star, but, boy, a lot of feathers are ruffled at Memorial area, but it is what it is. But
you can't put Jaden Phillips there either. The sophomore from Foothill transferred to Modesto Christian, so he's gone.
Well, I didn't know that. Thanks for reminding me. I will take care of that. Yeah, it's a new world we live in, Trevor, where kids are transferring school to school, central, yeah, or coast to coast, wherever. But this is why you just mentioned it before the break, that we need to go year to year, because you don't know. You might think, oh, God, next year's team's going to be really good. What? Who? Oh, 14 transferred in, 6 transferred out. You don't know almost a year, month to month anymore.
Yeah. But here, I will say this, and I'll go on record. I think what Jalen Green did was the right move for him and his future, because he is one of those few. Well, we may go 25 more years in the Valley without seeing another kid like Jalen Green. So for him to be able to go to Prolific Prep and prepare himself properly for the 1 year that he's going to go to college and into the NBA, I don't fault him for making that move. But he is the rare instance where I will say that.
So true. And who knows if he even goes to college. He could go overseas for 1 year. We don't know. We'll stay tuned on that one. That's how good he is.
Or the NBA could lift their one-year college because they're actually getting tired of the one-and-done because it's hurting college basketball.
No question about it. Trevor Horn on the horn. Let's go to baseball. And I had at the beginning of the year, I had Buchanan playing Frontier in the Central Section Championship game. I was close. Clovis got hot. And then we had the wild, rainy day weekend at Fresno State. We got it suspended. And it's just a wild, wild fourth
game
inning for Clovis.
Game should have never been played on Saturday. Game should have never been played on Saturday.
Or it should have been. Well,
yeah,
either play at noon because everyone knew it was going to rain about 3:30, or you wait till Tuesday or Wednesday.
Right. Here's the thing, and Jim Critchlow and Jeff Cardoza will argue with me on this, I'm sure, but you know, from my layman terms, and obviously I'm not the one dealing with the vendors and the checks going out to Fresno State and all that kind of stuff, and the umpires, because the coaches voted that local umpires umpire the games with the higher seed. So if, like Highland, they were the higher seed in D3 baseball, they got Kern County. So if Atascadero was the higher seed, they would have had Central Coast umpires. So I understand that there was logistics in there, but they already agreed to move the D6 game off site to Bishop. They should have agreed to move the D4 game off site as well, and then move the D3 game to 9:30 and move the D1 game to noon. So that way, just like you said, you get out in front of the rain that everybody knew was going to come right around 4 or 5 o'clock. And guess what? It did. The rain was coming down, as you know, before the first pitch. Before Chris Anglin even threw a pitch, it was already sprinkling. So it's not easy for two high school programs to have to start a game, stop it, and then stay in that same mindset for 4 days and get back on the field. And credit to Clovis. They were the higher seed. They got the home game. They got the homer, walk-ups, and all that kind of stuff, and it worked out in their favor. And the Cinderella story to the end of James Patrick's long and illustrious coaching career ended in the right way. But was it the proper way? Probably not.
Can you imagine the crowd it would have been if it was a nice sunny night at Fresno State on a Saturday night? 35 to 4,000 people easily.
Oh, yeah, because everybody would have come up from Bakersfield if everything stayed the same. Everybody from Clovis would have come over, and that place might have been packed. And that Fresno State coaching staff might have scratched their heads and go, man, why can't we get this anymore?
It's funny you say that. So I talked to a former Clovis West player, Christian Funk, who plays for Oklahoma State Cowboys, and he's outstanding baseball year, and they're doing a great job. And I asked him, what are the crowds like in Oklahoma? He goes, the worst crowd we played in front of was 3,500. We usually play in front of 10,000 to 15,000 people. And Fresno State would just kill even for 2,000 people, 1,000 people, even 500 people. So
it's a different day and age, man. People, you know, the people are tight with their money now, and I don't understand what it is. Maybe it's just there are a lot of transplants, and maybe they lost interest with that team for a while. Who knows? But you know, the same thing with the basketball team at Fresno State. I remember in the '90s at Selland when you had that Tarco meter at the top of the stands, and that thing would, you know, blare in the decimal level when that team was going off. It's pretty incredible. Now you look at the Save Mart Center, and it's cavernous sometimes. And it's, you know, it's sad to see that because it doesn't need to be that. That's the biggest show in town, and why they don't sell out in football, baseball, and basketball is beyond me.
All right, Trevor Meter, what would you do if you're the head marketing guy at Fresno State? How are you going to bring people in?
I would market it better. I would find more day games on the weekends so families with kids can come out and you can get them. You bring them in, and then you find some marquee games, too. And even if the Dogs don't win, you get those marquee games into Save Mart Center. Maybe you spend a little bit more money, and you offer maybe, you know, a one-for-one or a two-for-one to some Pac-12 programs, get them in, and allow them to play with the best. I mean, I think that Justin Hudson, I think he's going to do a great job with that basketball program. I think the football program is going on the right level, and I think winning is contagious, and I think that's the biggest thing is they need to bring in the right opponents for the losses, but they need to win and continue to win. The baseball team looks great, and so why they're not drawing is beyond me, but you know, start finding more things that are going to draw in people with families, because that's the biggest thing. Because you bring those kids at a younger age, they're going to want to continue coming back, and you got to find packages to continue to have those parents willing to spend their hard-earned money and bring them those kids back night in and night out, or day in and day out, however you want to say it.
Well, I think you're spot on, because I think the school spirit of Fresno State is dead, and they're going to have to go after young families to get the new generation in, and good luck with that. Division, let's go stay with baseball. A team that I saw play real early because I was working in Bakersfield. I went and watched Highland play, and I know they don't have a tough schedule, but when I watched them play, I said this team could play with anybody, and they went coast to coast, 29-2. The Highland Scots beat a very good Atascadero team.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good baseball team. They have good arms, Isaiah Ferrardo, Matthew Miranda and company. They were really good. That lineup, here's the biggest thing about them, is that there weren't a lot of holes in the lineup, especially in Division III, where, you know, you get through the four hitter and you think you can skate. There was no skating with Highland this year, and you got to think about it, 29-2. The only two losses were to Liberty, and Liberty, really, if you think about it, they were one fluke play against Rigetti from playing in the hosting the semifinals against Frontier, and so everything could have changed by then. So you had two losses to, you know, one of the better teams in Division I this year, both in tournament play. You know, that team, so you say, you know, they didn't have the greatest schedule, but, you know, they did go up against, you know, some of the best that Bakersfield had to offer, and that was a very good team, a lot of fun to watch, and they're loaded for next year, too. Sure, they lose Matthew Miranda, who's going to go to UC San Diego. You lose Andrew Ferrardo behind the plate. He's going to go play at San Diego Christian, but you bring a lot back, including Isaiah Ferrardo, who's going to do a lot of great things for them at second base and on the mound as well.
Baseball-wise, next year, I'm definitely keep an eye on Highland. Keep an eye on Stockdale. They're very young. They're all coming back. And keep an eye on Liberty. Those are the two teams I'm going to keep an eye on.
Yeah, definitely. Stockdale, with as much talent as they're bringing back, they're going to lose Cade Sheedy. He's going to go to Cal Poly next year. But, I mean, they bring back so much, and so does Liberty. And, you know, I think they've got a couple kids that are going to come up freshman year that are going to be right-away starters for them next year, just like Cutter Coffee was for them this year. You had two sophomores leading the way with Caleb Dickey and Jacob Tobias. They lose a few key seniors, but they're going to bring back a lot, and you're going to have a guy like Cutter Coffee on the mound. You're going to have a guy like Caleb Dickey on the mound when he's not at first base. I mean, Liberty is going to be scary good next year.
No question. I mean, they're young, and they can swing the bats, and I love a team that can swing the bats. We have only about 3 minutes or 4 minutes left. I got my early preseason.
But you talk about swinging the bats. Cutter Coffee and Jacob Tobias, a freshman and sophomore.
Yes.
And you add in Caleb Dickey. Those guys combined for 25 home runs this year.
Unbelievable. No, I saw it. I know my Peg Meter All-Star team's coming out. Stay tuned on that. There's some great players out in the South Valley. Football-wise, I want to get the juices flowing, Trevor. We're talking with Trevor Horn. Oh. And it's the top three teams right now. I've got Central, Buchanan, Liberty. 1-2-3, 3-2-1. They're all pretty darn even. South Valley-wise, tell me about Bakersfield, because I think with Michael Stewart, I think those kids are working hard. No one's transferring out, right? Have I heard anything yet?
Not that I know of. I've heard some grumblings. I haven't gotten anything concrete. The problem is that Michael Stewart, up until last week, still didn't have an offensive coordinator. I think they're in the process of getting one. I'm not sure if I'm at liberty to say exactly who it is, because I think they're still in the hiring process. But not having an offensive coordinator this late into 7-on-7, which is, next Wednesday at State Farm Park down here, the four-week 7-on-7 tournaments in Bakersfield start next week. There'll be some question marks, but if Wesley Wilson stays, he's going to be a great running back. You've got the Jernigan brothers, and I'm talking about Isaac, who is a high-end Pac-12 type player, and his younger brother, Ian, who's going into a sophomore year, might be the best of those three Jernigan brothers, and that includes their older brother, Isaiah, who graduates this week and is going to Cal Poly next year. So they've got a lot of talent. They had two kids move over to Garces and follow Paul Golis. So they will not be able to play next year for following a coach. But no, nobody's transferred out. There were some grumblings that a few were going to go here and there within town, out of town, even out of the section. But as far as I know, they haven't left yet. And I think a lot of that has to do with kids want to play with their buddies. The one team in town, Liberty, is going to be very good. Hayden Mann's going to take over at quarterback, and he has a total bowling ball. I mean, he is a legit. He's going to be a junior, and he's a legit 6'2", 225. I've seen him with his pads off. He's a big kid. And then they've got great running backs coming up. Obviously, you got Ramon Henderson on the outside, who just got an offer from Notre Dame last week, and he plays on both sides of the ball. The one team to look out for in Bakersfield this year is Stockdale.
Well, Trevor, I definitely want to have you back soon and talk more football. Trevor Horn, we got a heartbreak coming up at 1. Thank you so much for joining me today. And, again, we're going to get you back soon. I want to talk football coming up. Coming up next.
And again, prayers out to Matt, man.
I will. I'm going to try to catch up with him in the 1 o'clock hour. Coming up next is Steve Pierce, the head coach of the Reedley Junior College Tigers. And we're going to be talking baseball in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Here comes Chazare, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76 all, Chazare flew through the lane and lays it in.
Saved of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazare goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. Really the greatest furniture store right here in River Park. Fashion Furniture. 59 years in business. They just had a fabulous Memorial Day sale. And come on down at any time. They always have closeout sales going on. Recliners, tables and chairs. Next door, Mike Boom Boom Mancini Dupree has the whole mattress area for you. They have the whole block covered for you. If you have a house, a condo, an apartment, a teepee, I don't care. They got you covered at Fashion Furniture. And there's so many nice things to look at. If they don't have it, you don't need it. I want to thank Trevor Horn from the Bakersfield, California. Now I'm joined by one of the great guys in baseball, Mr. Steve Pierce from the Reedley Junior College Tigers. Coach Steve, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Welcome in. This is the first time you've been on my show.
First time. I was on a couple years ago on the telephone.
That's right.
This is the first time I've been to the studio, and this is a really nice place.
I mean, if you look, they have everything you'd ever want.
Oh, and it's huge. I mean, I couldn't hit a ball from one side to the other. It's a big place.
I say if you bring your wife in here, make sure that you each have their phones, because if you get lost, you have your GPS. You go, honey, I'm over in the mattress there. Where are you at? I don't know.
If she came here, she'd be in here for like 3 hours.
Well, let's talk about Steve Pierce. Already 9 years at Reedley.
Yes.
Time flies.
Yeah, it does. It's 9 years. It goes by fast.
Now, former Fresno State star, played for the Expos.
Uh-huh.
And you coached at even at Cal Berkeley.
1 year.
Assistant coach. So you've played junior college, the pros, Division One, everything. How much different is coaching JC to like coaching in Division One baseball to, A to Z? How tough is it?
Well, the thing that you really notice is the players. You know, you have much more skilled players at Division One. Although at the JC level, you just got to develop them more. And what enticed me to come was, you know, there's so many restrictions in Division One as far as how much time you can spend on the field, which if you break it down, there's times it was like 28 days you can be out on the field in the fall, all fall with your team. But you'd have individual stuff. But at the JC level, you can be on the field, you know, the whole fall, you know, Monday through Friday. And I like being on the field. Now, I miss good players, but I do like being on the field.
You got a great field at Reedley.
Yeah.
You guys done a great job with that little field.
Yeah, it's not little. It's a big park.
But it's just always green. It's beautiful. It's plush.
Yeah, our guys do a good job. Our maintenance guys do a good job on it. And also our players, we take a lot of pride in it and do a lot of work on it to make sure that it's in good condition. And we take a lot of pride in it. And to us, it's our Yankee Stadium. And that's how we approach it.
And of course, you're recruiting every minute because every 2 years you're getting some new players in.
Yeah.
Oh, this year we're going to be young. We got freshmen. Oh, we got a lot of sophomores in, but they're gone after that.
Yeah, yeah. That the turnaround time at the JC level is quick. Because going into this year we only had 17 innings coming back from the previous year, which is not a lot of innings on the mound. And you know that's probably why we started off struggling on the mound, and we sort of got our feet planted a little better, and we've played better the second half of the year. But there is a lot of turnaround at the junior college level. To develop leaders, too, you want guys that have been there a while and that have been around the block that can sort of help the new incoming freshmen. And you sort of don't get the luxury of having that now unless you have special kind of kid to come in and he already has leadership capabilities.
We're talking with Steve Pierce, the head coach of the Reedley Tigers. If you have any questions for Coach Steve, 844-940-ESPN is our number. 844-940-ESPN is our number. Call Russ. We'll hook you up. If you have any questions, baseball, maybe Little League. Maybe Coach Steve has a tip for Little League because this is summertime, and I always see, hey, Pagmeter, how long can little Johnny throw this baseball? And sometimes little leaguers, you know, you want to have them playing when they get to Reedley, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
So, Steve, 9 years now. Let's talk a little Fresno State before we go back to Reedley. They're playing in the big one. They're playing, UC Santa Barbara. Tell me about have you watched any Fresno State games this year?
No, I haven't. I didn't go out. I did go out last year. Our 1988 team got honored early in the year last year before a Michigan State game. So myself and Coach Bennett, Coach Rupsich, and some former players went out there and got recognized, which is a good deal. But they're in a really, really good regional between Santa Barbara, Stanford, and Sac State. You know, don't sleep on Sac State because they got some frontline pitching that could they're a scary four seed.
And as for Fresno State, that first game is huge.
You know, always is.
Ryan Jensen going against a team that can swing it.
Yes, and you know Santa Barbara's had a heck of a year. You know, single digit losses, high RPI. You know, they were going to be hosting, but they lost those first two games this past weekend that cost them the host. So now they're a two seed up at Stanford, and they got a good team. And you know, from what I heard, the Jensen kid is really, really good.
You know, I'm talking with Steve Pierce, former Fresno State Bulldog, and, of course, Reedley Junior College, the Tigers coach. I get this response from, and I was looking at my email a little while ago, Fresno State is if high school comparison. Stanford plays in the track. Okay, you got Santa Barbara, UC Santa Barbara playing in the CMAC, and Fresno State plays in the NYL. But they got to come in with a little chip on their shoulder because, you know, they don't play in the toughest league in the world. So if you're Fresno State and you know, you see Santa Barbara can swing it, Stanford can pitch, Sacramento State can swing it and pitch. What do you tell? What if you're Fresno State? What's Coach Batesel saying?
I mean, I don't know what he's going to tell them, but I can tell you, this time of year, it's not about the best team; it's who plays the best. And if you can get on a run and get hot this time of year, that's what you want to shoot for. And if everybody's sort of locked in and picking each other up and, getting some big two-out hits and, making pitches, then it's the team that plays best that wins.
I think there's just as much, if not more, talent on this team than in the 2008 team. This team's loaded.
Yeah.
But they got to believe in it.
Yeah. Yeah, you do, no doubt. And,
and you got to get lucky.
Yeah, you need luck. And I remember a lot of these kids in high school, Tatum and Ashford and all those kids and, they were good high school players that have now grown up, and I'm sure they're their experiences have helped them, and they'll help them in a situation like this.
So, Steve, question for you. You're in a former Bulldog. Why aren't people going to Fresno State baseball game? The crowds are horrible.
Well, do you want me to dig into it, or do you want me to give you the vanilla version?
I want the dig.
I think the biggest reason that the Fresno State athletics, and not just baseball, that's not being well attended is what has happened with the Fresno Bee. And the Fresno Bee not being in circulation like it used to be, I think really has hindered Fresno State athletics. And granted, their marketing department probably does the best they can do, although there's not a lot of marketing dollars, I'm sure, because that's the way it was when we were there. But the Fresno Bee was the biggest marketing tool for Fresno State athletics because you knew players, you knew coaches. You know, I could probably name three football players right now. I probably can't name one basketball player. I don't even know who the softball coach is. And it didn't used to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's unfortunate, but, you know, that's what you first thing you did when you woke up in the morning was you got the Fresno Bee, and you know, unfortunately you get it now.
It's
I don't
over.
It's 2 days ago that you're reading about it. And that's, you know, it's just not the Fresno Bee, but it's a lot of newspapers in the country with what's happened now with social media and websites. And it's unfortunate because that's how we grew up. We grew up with the Oakland Tribune and the San Francisco Chronicle, and then we moved down here to the Fresno Bee, and that's what you grew up on. And, you know, with modern technology, it's unfortunate, but it's where we're headed. And I think that's cost a lot of you know, attendance for Fresno State athletics.
Yeah, I think you nailed it because it used to be free marketing. Fresno State,
yes.
Be 3 pages on the Fresno Bee,
yeah,
about Fresno State, and then we get a little glimpse of Fresno City and Reedley,
yeah.
And
yeah.
High school would still be huge because high school around here is huge.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, but there's no more school spirit at Fresno State. The students don't go, so maybe now they got it, like Trevor Horn said, they got to cater to young families.
Yeah, they do. You know, and for so long that the lifeblood of Fresno State was the Bulldog Foundation. I'm sure it still is, and I'm sure it's a great organization. But they probably need to get out there and get new people and get new people involved. And that's the same with anything and any business. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to discourage people from not getting the Fresno Bee, but that's just how we grew up. That's what we knew.
Yeah, that's my idea too, and Matt Johnson as well, is we want giant banners of Aaron Judge, Derek Carr, mm-hmm. Paul George, Devontae Adams, big
yeah.
stars. So let little kids know, hey, Dad, is that where Aaron Judge played Fresno
no
State? You got to get the love out. I don't see any signs out there, but that's
no
the first
doubt.
Thing I would
and,
do.
And, you know, for me, Pat Hill did such a great job with that football program and getting it on the map, and God, he was good for the school. You know, and Coach Bennett was the same way. Coach Bennett was so far ahead of the game and how he got that stadium built before stadiums were even fashionable, you know, and he was sort of 20 years ahead of his time. And Pat Hill was sort of the same way, and he had great vision for where he wanted this program to go and where the stadium wanted to go. But you know, from being at Biden Field at Bennett Stadium last week for the baseball playoffs, you look around and you say, you know, what if they put redwood decking all around the outside of the outfield fence where that would be packed with barbecue smoke and all that just to try to trigger people into coming to the park? And because everybody likes to tailgate. And I know in Fresno everybody likes to tailgate. And
we like to eat.
Yeah, and there's a lot of tri-tip. And, you know, I think that would be something that would spice some things up and maybe get a, you know, some sort of company to donate the lumber to build some redwood decking out there or something to entice people and groups to come out.
Families.
Know? If it's church groups, if it's fraternities, sororities, you know, anybody that can come and have a good day at the park, I think is a great day.
Yeah, especially with the red wave dwindling away,
mm-hmm.
and the school spirit is dead. The marketing department's got to come up with something. And we're always pushing them because we are you and I are born and raised in this town.
Yeah,
I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
You might leave because we just found that USC has a new coaching job open. A lot of teams on the West Coast. What's going on with college baseball?
Whoa, it's where college basketball was 15 to 20 years ago. Now with the contracts that these baseball coaches are getting, there's a lot more pressure on them to win. And now you have opening at Oregon, you have an opening at Washington State, you have an opening at Long Beach State, and now in the last 45 minutes, you have an opening at USC. So there's a lot more pressure. There's a lot more pressure to win. It's a lot more in the public eye now in college baseball. And, you know, college baseball is a big moneymaker for the NCAA. And you're starting to see these facilities really start to blossom. I wish they would do so in California. And you see the other states, all these facilities that are going up. They're making it a great place, a great venue to go watch and recruit to and you know, develop traditions, which is good to see, because college baseball for me right now is at an all-time high as far as, you know, how big it's getting.
We're talking with Steve Pierce, the head coach of the Reilly Junior College Tigers. A couple of stories. Well, I talked last night with Christian Funk, who's playing for the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and mm-hmm. I asked him, I go, what's the crowds are like? And he said, well, on a slow end, 3,000 people, on a high end, 15,000 people.
Yeah.
And that's unbelievable. And then I went to Louisiana. I was just for business, and I stopped in and watched Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, play the Longhorns.
Whoa.
There was 12,000 people there on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
It was like a religious experience for these people. It was crazy. I don't know if we'll ever get to there as a baseball town, but it was sure nice.
Well, we were there at one time.
Yeah,
I know that. I when we played from the midpoint of the season on in 1988, you couldn't find a seat. And then, you know, I remember a game that we had in 1998. We start the season against Stanford. It's Jeff Weaver versus, I think, Chad Hutchinson or something, the old quarterback pitcher. And that's back when they had those bleachers down the right field line, so the 3,575 red chairback seats were full, and that whole section down the right field line was full, and that was at the end of January. So I think there was over $4,000 at that game, and that was, you know, January's in Fresno is not warm, but, you know, it's hopefully they can get back to that because it is a baseball town. You know, all you have to do is look around at the youth leagues. All you have to do is look around at the high schools. And all you had to do is, I mean, if you looked at the high school games that they had at Biden Field at Bennett Stadium last week, yeah. You know, that Memorial Sanger game was a heck of a game.
And see, Matt and I pump up the high school sports pretty well.
And you guys do a great job of marketing that and promoting that. And that's good. That's what this area needs more of.
I saw you at the Clovis Championship game at James Patrick Stadium, his final win and his 10th section championship. That place is jammed.
How about that crowd?
Yeah.
It was incredible. So it's still passionate place for baseball.
Without the B.
Yeah. And you know, it's still a very, very passionate place. You know, Doc Buchanan had such a vision when he, you know, got that school district going, and, you know, some people have followed in. And but that was a very, very fun venue to be at those championship games at Fresno State and also at Clovis High School.
We're talking with Steve Pierce. We'd love to hear from him. We're going to take a quick break. Call us right here. Steve Pierce, the head coach of the Reilly Tigers, 844-940-ESPN. We're going to be talking Major Leagues, Fresno State, JC down the high school. If you have any questions for Coach Steve, he's right here at Fashion Furniture. We'll be right back. This is a special edition of the Rise Show here at 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live, a special edition to the Rise Show. Coming up next is Tony D, but this is a Wednesday edition, the Rise Show. Thursday's Giants baseball, so we're bringing it to you live. I want to thank Trevor Horn from the Bakersfield, California, here at Fashion Furniture. And the first time ever, Steve Pierce is here at Fashion Furniture. He's blown away. You haven't even seen the recliner section yet.
Yeah, I don't want to go sit on them because you won't see me for another 20 minutes.
Oh, they're like airplanes over there.
Yeah,
they're so comfortable.
This place is outstanding.
It is amazing. Well, we're talking about Fresno State. Call in if you can, 844-940-ESPN. And our buddy, Mike Brink, just sent me a picture from Memphis University. We're talking about the wood plank, the wood decks at some of these stadiums, and he said, I just saw it out there. So, Mike, great job. And just getting the barbecue effect
going.
Yeah,
get built-in barbecues and beer gardens and all that. And that's I'm telling you, that's what entices people to come out to the park, especially on weekends.
Especially young kids. Young kids aren't probably not going to sit there for nine innings.
This is probably an adult section, but your kid can show up and then go play on the grass.
Steve Pierce, the head coach of the Reedley Tigers. Now, I watch a lot of high school baseball. I watch college. I watch Major League. I watch it all. The launch angle now, is it good or bad for baseball?
Well, I always thought there's always been launch angle in baseball, and depending on what kind of hitter you are. And, you know, Dave Kingman had a launch angle. Gene Tennis had a launch angle. You know, Barry Bonds has a launch angle. You know, but I think everybody has a launch angle on a pitch that's down in the strike zone. You have to. And then the higher up it gets, the more your swing should get more flat. But I think with this launch angle is the higher up elevation-wise the pitch is, people are still using this 35-degree launch angle, which now you're starting to see record strikeouts. And if you watch, you know, the big league games, people are striking out at a record rate, and a lot of it is elevated fastballs that, you know, now guys are throwing 94 to 98 and breaking balls that they're chasing in the dirt. So the art of two-strike hitting is sort of gone to the wayside, unfortunately, because that's how we grew up. But if you look at who has won the world championship the last 4 or 5 years, you know, minus the Cubs, who struck out probably 21st most that year, all the other teams are 1, 2, 4, and 5. So they're putting the ball in play. And I think that when you get into playoff baseball, the teams that put the ball in play more often have a tendency to win more games. And you're starting to see that because the pitching gets so good that it's tough to hit a three-run homer in the playoffs. You know, and then they're mixing and matching, and starters are now going, you know, 4 1/3, and they're bringing in another guy that's throwing 99 with run. And so it's tougher to hit, but two-strike hitting has sort of gone by the wayside. And that's, you know, I grew up with Pete Rose and Wade Boggs and Tony Gwynn and Rod Carew and all those guys that were great, great two-strike hitters that sprayed the ball around. And, you know, hitters are becoming more one-dimensional and pull-happy, and that's why you're seeing, you know, Christian Yelich having the success that he's having, because he sprays the ball around. And if there's one guy that has a chance, you know, and you look at it, to get 3,000 hits, it's probably him, because you can't put the shift on him because he does spray the ball around, and it's tough to defend.
Well, you know, you and I grew up with Bill Buckner. He struck out 40 times.
Yeah.
He had 2,700-plus hits, but they want to talk about the big error in 1986. And unfortunate, I mean, it was a disaster in his career and his life, and he finally got over it, and the Red Sox, you know, let it go. But, yeah, he was an old school. Now, Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs is the only guy I see that chokes up with two strikes.
He's got two-strike adjustment. And, you know, Bill Buckner was a great, great player. He was a great player, and he was a guy that – you know,
all of us
saw him play towards the end of his career when he wore high tops and couldn't run. But when he came out of Napa, he could really, really run. And Coach Bennett would always tell the story about how he was recruiting him and saying he was a great player that could absolutely run. And that's who he was. And I mean, he had 2,700 hits. And hopefully that's what people remember him by, is what he did good for the game, because he was a really good ambassador for the game. And, you know, it was unfortunate what happened, but he was a great, great player.
Yeah, we've only had 65 human beings that ever hit 2,700 hits or more.
Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Out of 19,000 baseball players, he's in the top 65 of hits, and that's how he should be remembered.
Yeah, and a great fielder. He made a blunder in that one play, but it is what it is.
And it always looked like he used the biggest glove ever.
Yeah.
But he started out as an outfielder that could really, really run.
We're talking with Steve Pierce, head coach of the Reedley Tigers. Call us, 844-940-ESPN. Now that you mentioned the shift, and I know a lot of guys who were, well, they got to get rid of the shift. No, how about this idea? Learn how to hit.
Yeah.
You just mentioned Yelich knows how to go across, hit everywhere.
Yeah.
Just learn how to hit.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these guys just pull right into the shift every time.
Well, about 3 weeks ago, I was watching a Giant game, and I saw – Brandon Belt hit a line drive. He didn't get it all, but it was sort of a softer hit line drive right over the first baseman's head that he jumped for, and the second baseman went over there and made a play and threw him out at first. And I went, geez, old Pete, how the heck did that happen? A line drive over the first baseman's head turned into an out. So, you know, I talk to my buddies all the time, and we played a game growing up, and it was called home run. There was two games we played. Strikeout, which we put the batter's box up on the wall, and, you know, that's how you learned what the strike zone was growing up. Plus, it taught you how to track the ball to the wall to see if it was a strike so the other dude wouldn't cheat. So you don't see anybody track the ball to the catcher's glove anymore. But we played another game called home run where you had an infielder and an outfielder. And the infielder, we used a semi-hard rubber ball that sort of bounced funny. But you had to catch the ground ball in front of a line. If you didn't catch the ball in front of the line, the guy was safe. You didn't run in this game. And so I'm thinking, okay, what about if they put a line around the infield, like about 10 feet, a big old chalk line or painted line around the apex of the infield, which is normally about 95 feet from the middle of the pitching mound. So you go another 5 feet, so it'd be 105 feet around the infield. And you had to start with both feet inside of that line. You could still do your shift and everything, but now you can't play your second baseman in short right field. And I thought, well, you're changing the game. Yeah, well, you know what? We did that when we played home run when we were growing up. You know, so that was something that I thought about, because I don't like seeing the shift either.
Well, couldn't Brandon just learn how to just bunt down the third baseline until they change?
I think some guys are starting to do that, you know, but it wasn't a manly thing to do. Oh. But I'm
looks
about
good
winning
on
games.
Your average.
I'm about winning games.
Giants need to do something lately, right?
And if you're doing stuff to win games, I don't care what you do.
See, we grew up playing wiffle ball.
Yeah.
I played with Rex Huther. We all had our home field advantages. And, like, I'll never forget, his left field was about 30 feet. His right field was 280 feet, you know. So we all had a wiffle ball league back in the day. And that's what we did.
That's what we did.
Yeah, those were the days. And, of course, I watch a lot of high school baseball, and I see so many high school kids just call third strikes, walk to the dugout like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And we never struck out back in the day because our coach, Mike Noakes, might yell, come here, what were you thinking up there? So I never want to get to two strikes.
Yeah.
But nowadays, what do you tell kids as a coach when you see are they aggressive? Are they attacking the first pitch? Or what do you got them doing now?
Well, it depends on if you're a player that likes to hit deep in the count, I don't mind you not being aggressive out of the gate, you know. But if you're a guy that is susceptible to swinging and missing, I want you to be a little more aggressive out of the gate and not get two strikes on you. You know, but with two strikes, there's some adjustments you can make. You can get closer to the plate. You can choke up and make your bat shorter so you have better bat control. And then, you know, what I did is I sort of cut the field in half. So I became more of a middle opposite hitter with two strikes, just so I'd make sure to see the ball deep. Now, I'd get jammed on occasion, but, you know, by shortening up the bat, by choking up a little bit, you know, that helped a little bit. So that was sort of my approach with two strikes, because I didn't like striking out. Now, you know, and striking out looking is, you know, that was...
That's not good.
No. And it bothers you because that's the individual battle that you have in baseball. It's you versus the pitcher, you know, and at-bats are precious.
But I see kids, I was guessing curveball. He threw me a fastball. And
yeah.
What?
That,
they do that in the majors as well. Wow, he fooled me.
Yeah. Well, I had the luxury when I was at UCLA that we went to lunch with Pete Rose.
Oh, my.
And it was like... Hey, you know, people started sitting down, and you know, I saw an empty seat right next to him, and I sat right down to that seat. Because he's the guy that I just loved watching.
That's a bucket list.
Yeah, and off the field, I didn't agree with that, but on the field, the way that he played the game. So, you know, about halfway through lunch, I leaned over to him and said, hey, what was your approach with two strikes? And he said, you take the hardest pitch away. Take the hardest pitch away. And then that's what he did, and that's sort of your
approach
has to be. So
you're saying if he's a 98 mile an hour fastball guy.
You think it's going to be 98 on away from you on the outside corner. That was his approach, and obviously it worked for him.
He had some pretty good. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think he's the all-time hit leader.
Yeah, he was a good hitter, and he didn't strike out a lot. Neither did Wade Boggs, neither did Tony Gwynn, neither did Rod Carew.
So Pete be in the Hall of Fame? I say yes.
Yeah, but what he did on the field, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes with it, you know. That's not for me to say.
Well, it's, to me, I watch a lot of the NBA in the regular season. I just see some guys not hustling. I want them betting on themselves on every game. They're going to try a little harder, especially if I'm paying $150 a ticket. I want to see guys show up and play.
Yeah.
So that's my 2 cents worth. But during a player, I mean, when he played, there was nobody better.
No, he was a great player.
Yeah.
He was a great player, and he rubbed off on his teammates in a positive manner. And that to this day, and you know, I was only 9 years old at the time, but that 1975 Cincinnati Red team might be the greatest team that was assembled of my lifetime, at least. I didn't see the Yankees way back when, but that 1975 team was a really, really good baseball
team.
They
just had a story on Major League Network, Johnny Bench,
mm-hmm.
and how he was coming up with the big red machine.
Mm-hmm.
That team was unbelievable.
They were
right.
good. Boy, they had Davey Concepcion, Joe Morgan, Perez, and Dan Dreesen, and Ken Griffey, and George Foster, and Don Gullett, and yeah, they were good.
There were some teams back then. The Orioles were really good.
Yeah.
The Pirates.
Yeah.
Willie Pop.
Yeah.
Stargell
yeah.
and all them.
Yeah.
That was some games right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, those were fun times.
So let's talk about Steve Pierce, of course. He coaches, head coach of the Reedley Tigers baseball team. When you played minor league ball, tell us about that experience. Because there's a lot of kids. The draft is coming up on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be some kids drafted. What would you recommend, even on the kids that are, might be playing at the 4-year level?
Mm-hmm.
Give me some, because I know dads and kids are listening right now.
Well, you got to stay humbled, number one. And number two, you're going to have a lot of people telling you a bunch of stuff. You know, you're going to go in this round, you're going to go in that round. You know, there might be a time you don't even get drafted. And then where's that going to put you? Then that's, you know, I didn't get drafted out of Fresno State. I signed as a free agent. You know, I was getting ready to go work at Flowerland Nursery for Mr. Wilson, and I got a call early in the morning from Gary Hughes, who's now with the Red Sox, and he said, "Do you want to play?" I said, "Oh, heck yeah, I want to play." So I got on the first flight out the next morning to Rockford, Illinois, but probably before that, one of the best calls I ever made was to Mr. Wilson and told him, "Mr. Wilson, I'm not going to be coming into work today." It's stripping lawns and hoeing weeds.
You can always do that some other
time.
Yeah.
So I had a chance to go straight to the Midwest League, and it was an enjoyable experience. It's something that I always wanted to do. And two weeks after I signed, I get a letter in the clubhouse from Gary Hughes, the scout that signed me, and said, "Here's the rest of your signing bonus. You deserve this opportunity. Here's the rest of your signing bonus." It was two personal pan pizzas from Pizza Hut, and I used them. But that was a good story, and it was a great, great experience.
Was that the first time you ever been away from home, maybe?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that's a half the battle as well for some kids.
It is, and that's why you're starting to see these big league rosters from American made players, a lot of more higher percentage are coming from colleges, 4-year colleges. And there's a number of reasons for that. You know, number one, you're socially better, you know, because you've been interacting with people. You've been around a high level of competition. You're competing to win, which you have to do at college. And you're seeing that more so with pitchers, because if you sign out of high school, you know, they don't really learn how to win if you sign as a pitcher out of high school. It's more, okay, how did you do? Well, I went 5 innings, gave up 4 hits, walked 2, and struck out 7. Okay, good outing. Did you win? I don't know. I was in the clubhouse. But in college, you know, you learn how to win. And that's why I think you're starting to see a lot more organizations are geared towards, you know, signing the college kids than the high school kids. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some great high school players that have played.
But you
got to
be really, really good now.
Yes, and you got to be mature. You got to be thick-skinned.
To take a chance on a high school kid is that kind of money. You better be good. You better be a Mike Trout.
And you better have high character.
Yeah.
You better be a high character kid, and that's why they're doing a lot of research on these kids now, because they're investing a lot of money into them. But it's a little safer route by going and drafting a kid out of college.
Would you recommend, we're talking with Steve Pierce from the Reedley Tigers baseball team, would you recommend for kids, because I know it's a game with these scouts, hey, what is it going to take for Steve Pierce to sign? Well, I'm going to college, and it's going to take $380,000 or $1 million. Do they put you on the list when that happens?
They do. The scouts have a job too, and they do a great job of it because that's what their job is. They go out and evaluate, and then if they do find something that they like, then they set up meetings with these kids, what they've been doing for the last probably 2 or 3 months, these sign abilities where they figure out, okay, what's it going to take to get this kid if we draft him in this spot. And so they know going in that, if that kid is in this spot, we have a chance of getting him. And a lot of kids will outprice themselves, and a lot of kids say, it doesn't matter where I'm drafted, I'm going to college. And
to me, that's the best way to handle it.
Yeah.
Just keep your mouth shut and just say, if I get drafted, great. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but it's – if that's something that you want to do with your life and you've – even though you're still young, if I had a son, I got two daughters, but if I had a son and someone threw 1.4 at him as an 18-year-old kid,
that changes everything.
That's tough to turn down.
What I'm saying is, I mean, of course, 1.4, you're going, maybe you work out a deal with the team. Maybe next time I'll go to college. But really, you're going to college to get a job.
Yeah.
Right out of high school, I'm already getting 1.4 to go get a job.
Yeah.
My youngest daughter's a little... She's a model actress. She didn't go to college, and she's in L.A. and doing great.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is some of these scouts, they want to put you on a list. Well, it's going to take 1.4 for you to sign, and all of a sudden every scout knows it's going to take you. And people go, hey, how come he's not going in the top five draft? Well, maybe.
Well, his signing figure was too high.
Exactly.
And that's why, sometimes they'll tell kids, like I said earlier, a kid might – say, I'll go in the second round or the slot, whatever the slot is for the third round. And then that slot goes, and then they get drafted in the 38th round or the 17th round and still get offered a good portion of money.
Because they got money to keep,
So that's the part of it that's sort of creative,
And let's take a break. We got good stuff today. If you want to talk about baseball, 844-940. ESPN is our number. Steve Pierce is in the house. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. This is your special edition of The Rice Show. We are here on a Wednesday. The Giants will be teeing it off tomorrow right during The Rice Show. So we said, I want to come here on Wednesday on a beautiful day. I want to thank Trevor Horn from the Bakersfield, California, who joined us in the 12 o'clock hour. Steve Pierce, the head coach of the Reedley Tigers, joining me, talking great baseball. What a knowledgeable guy. Former Fresno State star. Coaches now 9 years. He coached at Cal. Played for the Montreal organization. You've done it all, so you've been A to Z.
Not A. A's the big leagues. I wasn't in the big leagues.
That's all right, but I mean, you signed, you got to do the whole
thing. Yeah, I was very fortunate.
The dream.
It's been, that slogan that baseball's been very, very good to me. I've been very fortunate because I don't know what the heck I would have done without this sport. It's been very good for me. It's been good for my family. And I've got to see 23 states because of the sport of baseball, which...
It's pretty good.
It is. You get to see spots and areas and be around people and develop relationships and be around good coaches. And I've got great assistant coaches right now with Coach Essien, Coach Martinez, Coach Sullivan, and Dalton Silva, who's gonna go get his degree next year. But it's for me, the relationships are classic. And, the game keeps you young. I love the game, and it's sort of what I think I know.
Well, that's why you've done a great job at Reedley. You brought it from ground zero all the way up where you could be anybody now. And kids are wanting to play at Reedley.
Yeah, I mean, we went to the playoffs 3 straight years. This year we scuffled a little bit, but we'll bounce back next year. We got a good nucleus coming back. We got some good kids coming in. Still want to get a couple more guys that I'm waiting on. So if you're out there, you know who you are. So... Let's go. But we have fun at what we do. We do.
Good friend of our the family, Evan Sagrabella, those guys from Kerman.
Yeah.
You get guys like that who are just on the brink of being really good. You've taken them to the next level.
Evan Sagrabella, he was a good story. He knew how to pitch. He was co-conference pitcher of the year in 2016. And then in 2018, he had a great year and beat Feather River up there in the playoffs. And then he just got done... you know, having a great year at York College in Nebraska, where he took them to the playoffs, and I don't think they've been to the playoffs in a long time. So he's a good story.
Fantastic. We got Ryan. Ryan, welcome to the Rice Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got a question for Coach Pierce. I hope this question comes out right, because it might be more complicated than I realized. But can you talk about the transfer rules for JC College? Because I understand that certain coaches will stockpile talent, make it difficult for players to transfer when they end up deeper on the depth chart than promised.
Are you talking about a player at the junior college level?
Yeah.
To go on to the four-year school?
No, that's going to a, no, that wants to, you know, maybe they're an incoming freshman and, you know, they got all the hype from the coach saying, you're going to be my guy behind the plate, and we only have two catchers, and they show up on day one, and there's 14 catchers there.
Okay, you're talking about transfer within JC to JC.
Correct.
Okay, well, if you have never competed in a game, you can transfer school to school. From school to school. So if the first semester you say, hey, I'm not going to play here, they got, you know, a really good shortstop ahead of me,
which I didn't know about,
you can transfer to another school, which I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of. But if you played and you just finished your freshman year and you transfer, you got to establish residency. So that next fall, you got to have 12 units at that school that you transferred to establish residency. You know, so like, let me give you an example. If you're a sophomore and you competed as a freshman, and you go back to the same school that first semester, you just can't take off after that semester and go to another school and be instantly eligible. So you got to establish residency
right first.
Thanks for clearing that up.
I know a lot of guys that get into some tough situations and they're not sure who to contact or how to move from one school to the other. Not that I condone transferring.
Yeah,
but the promises are not always.
Yeah,
quite what
I think it's honest, so. And you know, we all recruit to get the best players, and that'll continue. And you want to have depth, and you want to have competition, and you don't like to see kids transfer out of your program, but unfortunately, it's happening at all levels, and you know that's just sort of the nature of it.
Well, we wish you luck out there in Reedley.
Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan, for the call. That's a good call. Because that's probably the how some coaches are going to recruit. Hey, you're going to be my guy.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you got six stars coming in. But I'm sure rumors on the street, you're going there too?
Yeah.
So am I.
Yeah.
Wait. So
it is. People talk.
People talk.
You know, and the best thing you can say is, you know, you'll have an opportunity. You do everything you can in your power, you'll have a great opportunity to do what you want to do.
We're talking with Steve Pierce, head coach of the Reedley Tigers Junior College baseball team. And how you handle the parents nowadays? When you played back in the day, parents were, you know, Bob Bennett didn't have an e-phone or a cell phone or an email to get a hold of. But every parent probably thinks their kid could play at USC. How do you handle these parents nowadays?
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't had any trouble with parents. And, you know,
no,
I just changed you. Okay, I mean, it happened, you know, every now and then. Never say never, yeah. But, you know, when I recruit a kid and when the kid comes in and I tell him, you know, from this point on, I'm going to deal with you man to man. My office is always going to be open if you want to come talk, and I'm just going to deal with you. You can come in and you can ask about playing time. I want you to ask, and I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. So you got to understand, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're going to come in here, I'm going to be honest with you. And, you know, I don't deal with your hitting coach. I don't deal with your agent. I don't deal with your parents. Now, I want your parents to come out to games. I want them to come out and support. And I'm totally for that. And we've had a good booster group with our program where these people go out of their way and feed our kids on occasion after some home games. And it's been great. And you know, I'm honest. And that's the only thing you can do is be honest.
How does Coach Steve handle the starting lineup? Because I know some kids are worrying about, God, if I strike out right now, I'm not going to play tomorrow. He's focused so much on that instead of saying, you know what, I'm okay. I'm going to focus on the pitching. So do you give them the day before, that day they come in and look at the lineup?
I usually put the lineup up before we go to BP and so they know. And sometimes if a kid hasn't been playing for a while, I'll go up to him the day before and say, hey, you're going to be in there tomorrow. And sometimes a kid will come in, hey, coach, what do I got to do to play? I say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. You know, the guy ahead of you is just, you know, he's doing well. But keep doing what you're doing. Your day, you know, I tell kids, your day in the sun to shine is going to come up, so you got to be ready for it. And it could happen in practice. Yeah. It could happen in an inter-squad game. You know, so I warrant, you know, I reward kids that do something well, you know, and the ones that I like to see doing well are the ones that have had to deal with a little bit of adversity, you know. And but I you never not want a kid to go up there thinking, I got it. Yeah. He can't play that game this, like, I got it. Yeah. I have to. And hopefully you can free them up so they just can compete against that pitch. But human element tells you, I mean, we all been there. I got to do this or I'm going to, you know, in pro ball, I got to do this or I'm going to be released. Or I got to do this or I won't have a job. And so, you know, that's the nature of it. And it's a tough sport.
I talked about Rex Hudler and wiffle ball, but he used to tell me when, if he's not in the lineup during batting practice, he acted like it was a game. I wanted the coaches to see me.
Yeah.
Because you give a kid with a bad body language or batting practice, and I'm sure some coach are going to, he's not ready to play today.
And like Rex Hudler would tell you, he wants to be around a fountain. He doesn't want to be around a drain. And, you know, talk about a mentally tough guy. Rex Hudler was a mentally tough guy because I think he was in the minors for like 10 years.
At least.
And, you know, from what he did and to see his career. You know, I looked him up last week. His two biggest contracts were like the last two or three years of his career. You know, which
smart.
Yeah, and he's got such a great personality. It doesn't surprise me what he's doing right now as being the color commentator for the Royals.
Yeah, he's got the dream job, no doubt. We're talking with Steve Pearson. Of course, being a head coach, you've got to coordinate everyone's personalities, and that's not easy as well. Some teams, you got to fire them up every game. How was this team this year? I know you said they're young.
Yeah, it was a tough club because, you know, they didn't handle adversity very well early. And nobody does. And we didn't have a lot of experience. So we scuffled a little bit, but we sort of stayed the course and we battled. And, you know, we ended up going 12-9 in the Central Valley Conference, which was good. Hopefully we can, you know, catapult that into bigger and better things next year, which is what the plan is. But this game can teach you a lot about life. It really can, because of the adversities that surround it. You know, you might deal with a bad umpire that day. You might deal with, you know, you got a sore muscle in your back that you got to play, all that stuff.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. Steve Pearson, the house. If you want to get a hold of Steve, you can always message the PAG meter on Twitter, and I'll get you his information if you're interested. Russ, thank you again. Coming up next, Tony D. You've been listening. Special edition of The Rice Show, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. As Matt says, get in the game!